Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, founder and CEO of Tommy John, Tom Patterson. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and an underwear-themed round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, finally, a guest he can show his underwear to without getting into a Me Too situation. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. Oh, man, 10 years, and it's all because of yous. I love that about you guys, and also our fine sponsors like Stamps.com. You can enter Adam and save some money. I'll tell you about that. MedMen, MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you. And the aforementioned Tommy John. Tell you about that at TommyJohn.com/M. I'm wearing my Tommy John's today. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
I don't think Adam's going to like that.
I'm mystified by how people process information. Somebody tweeted me a couple days ago where it was like, you are criticizing Dawson and his diet, and it really became uncomfortable, and I think he was right, and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, I don't know how it all turned into that. I was basically saying, if you want some veggies, you're drinking the wrong juice, and I'm jealous that you can do that and not gain weight.
When did
that
for joy?
When did that? How is that interpreted as you attacking?
I'm not sure.
Dawson.
And I think Dawson backs you up because this guy was like, there was a groundswell of like, yeah, Dawson, that's insane. You shouldn't have to take that. And I believe Dawson's response was, lighten up.
Yeah. The thing I love about those tweets is everyone who decided to get on you for getting on me, in parentheses, when they said Ace being so mean to Dawson, and then parenthetically, who I don't really care for at all.
I did see that.
You were double victimized.
It's a real opportunity to pile on.
Yeah.
All right. So we all love food, and we can all agree that our lives, if I'm chamber it if you got something good.
I only apropos to Dawson's thing. It made me think. I'm like, we all get it on Twitter. Like we all get our pound of flesh taken and handed back to us. When I mistakenly identified the fat guy, Chris Farley. He wasn't the voice of Donkey. He was the voice of Shrek. Oh, it was a holiday on Twitter. Bob Ryan was wrong. Holy shit, it was a holiday for losers. Enjoy it, dorks. It doesn't happen very often. No wonder it was such a great day for you.
Jesus. Wow.
Spit on my mind. People were thrilled. There was a parade in the streets. Bob Ryan got some movie trivia wrong. Woo, I was adjacent. I was so close, but so wrong.
On theme of not movie stuff,
really
but food and people tweeting me, I as you know, I have an obsession with waste, and the waste is the it's the veggie burrito. It's, hey, I went on a run. We got a beef. We got a steak. We got a chicken. And we got veggie burritos. And then nobody wants the veggie burritos. And they're the same price as the chicken and the steak. And they should have never done it. And they should have figured it out. The multi-grain bagel. Could we please get this shopping list?
Who is that pleasing?
At least
the blueberry and the chocolate chip pleases that person who has a childlike palate.
Nobody wants seed bagels,
right? And so here's the thing: if you're going, what happens is they go in there and they always show. Somebody showed me the baskets as every day the sprouted grain wheat bagel is the veggie pizza of bagels. They're always left. Mm. Now, there's a few things I want to say. If somebody is going on a coffee run or a bagel run or something run, and they don't return with the multi-grain bagels, that's fine, because if you're disappointed, it means you don't fucking like bagels. So it means you not only know nothing about bagels, you don't like bagels as they are known to others.
You'd be just as happy with a piece of wheat toast.
Yes, or maybe happier. You could never be disappointed that the person didn't bring home the worst bagel in the world
right,
because
in
you don't like bagels.
Right. Yeah.
So thus, when you're going on the run, and you go, it'd be like me saying, huh, I'm going to go on a car run, and I'm just going to bring some cars home for you guys, okay? So, I'll get two Ferraris, I'll get two Audis, I'll get two Pontiac Aztec vans.
Dibs.
And I'll get two Renault Alliances from the 1980s. And then someone goes, what are you getting the Pontiac Aztec vans for? And I go, I just want to be covered. You want to be covered by the piles of shit that nobody wants? Right. Yeah, no. Who knows? Maybe we employ the criminally insane and they prefer the Pontiac Aztec over the Audi. And my feeling is, then you don't like cars.
Yeah.
And let's just get the best ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd be happy with anything at that point.
This is a world where the Pontiac Aztec van is the exact same price as the Audi.
Yeah.
So the now I'm really livid. Because at least in that world, you go, well, the Aztec van was 19 grand and the Ferrari, 400K.
So you can understand.
That's not going to fool.
They're all the same price. Right. So don't do it. Just don't do it. When you're going on a bagel run, just get the bagel. Because stay with the top three. And if you want to throw in an egg, I got no problems with you. But the multi-grain is horrible to everybody. The texture's wrong. The taste is wrong. And because it's in the shape of a bagel, it doesn't mean it's a bagel. If you take non-bagel material and shape it into a bagel, that does not make it. It does not a bagel make.
Thank you.
This inner tube is delicious.
Yes.
It's offensive to the
Jews. This hemorrhoid pillow is awesome. It's okay. So just knock it off, everybody. And for those who feel the need to offer it, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants it.
The store that sells it. It's always why there's a basket that's left at the end of the day. And here is where everything gets thrown off. Whether it's the veggie burrito or the veggie sub sandwich from Quiznos, which is not even a sandwich. It's just a salad in between some carbs. Hey, would you like an unhealthy salad that you don't enjoy?
Exactly.
Good. It's called a veggie sub.
Because ostensibly the reason you're choosing veggie is for health reasons, but then you're surrounding it in a thick roll.
It's brown carbs rolled in oats. It's actually probably worse.
Weird.
Okay. But eventually, just like the trail mix nobody really likes but picks all the pieces out they do like individually, eventually it gets consumed, and then the message to the person who went on the run is, I guess I should just stay the course. Also, I don't know about this strategy, but taking the dumbest person on the property and sending them on the food run has got to end at some point.
Yeah.
When I was in construction, it was like the lowest paid moron on the job site. Like the guy was walking around with a 5-gallon bucket on his head going, why is it so dark? That's the guy we would all send on the run, because you wouldn't send the journeyman carpenter.
No,
he's getting
them.
$23 an hour. Yeah. You got to send the dumbest person on the planet. And it, Brian, do you vaguely remember, I don't know why this story, I haven't told it in over 10 years, but there was a story, and the story was a guy showed up to KLSX years ago, and he wanted to film something with me, had an idea, like a script or
something.
And
I do remember this.
And at some point, he was like handing me piles of papers to just say this into the camera.
It was like an internal corporate video that you were recording, and it was
for CBS.
For CBS Radio. It was a message to a boss, either Robert or someone like that. And it was a message to that person, like, oh, well, you know, you're one of the bigger stars on the network, whatever it was. And so let's get Adam to record a little video for this thing.
Right now, this guy
in studio
had what happens all the time, or what has happened to me a lot. The guys will show up with their video camera, and then they have a 13-page outline, and then they hand you...
It was a detailed script.
They hand you a 13-page outline, and they go, we're going to set up over here. Are you ready to shoot?
You and just digest that.
You go, do I read off the script? They go, no, that's the script. Don't read off it. But you ready to go? And you're like, I don't know how I could be ready to go. There's 13 pages of dialogue here. Oh, you need a few minutes? Like, no, I need the rest of my life and an acting coach and a dialogue coach to follow me around. Like, no, this can't work. So what do you what,
give me
what
the gist.
And so I go, just give me the gist. And then they're a little put off. Like, hey, well, I worked a long time on this script.
I was told you'd be ready.
You should have figured this one out. You should have seen this one coming. At a certain point, I was like, oh, what are we going to do? Are we going to roast Bob Moore? Like, oh, I'll come up with a couple of fat
like
tennis
that,
jokes
yeah.
or something. And some stupid, comfortable shoe jokes or something for Bob Moore and whatever it was. And then just sort of out of nowhere, he went, you know, I've worked with you before. And I said, yeah. And he said, yeah, MTV, you were doing Loveline. You guys were down at whatever beach doing MTV Spring Break. And Mike Myers was on the show. And I was like, okay. And he's like, yeah,
sure, it wasn't Chris Farley?
You were, you're a real asshole.
Oh, and I was there like, it is.
I remember that.
And I was like, I was? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, how was I an asshole to you? I was a PA. And I was like, yeah, I kind of remember me and Drew going down to whatever beach. God, what's the spring break location over there? We'll figure it out. It's another country and then the beach. It's like
Cozumel or one of those. Oh, Cabo San Lucas.
Now it'll hit you in a second. We'll find it. But anyway, we're there and Mike Myers is the guest and we're doing an outdoor thing or whatever. And I was like, I was in the trailer and I was like, why were you, why was I a dick to you? Or like, what'd I do? Because I wasn't a dick to anyone. I'd just sit down, get my makeup on, and go sit in the room. And he's like, oh, you're a real dick. And I said, what did I do? And he said, I asked you if you wanted something to drink. And I said, yeah. And what did I say? He said, yeah. He said you wanted a peach Snapple. And I said,
how dare you?
Okay. And he said, yeah. And then I went out and looked for a peach Snapple. And I couldn't find peach nectar anywhere. Mm-hmm. I found apricot nectar, but I couldn't find peach juice anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so then I came back with nothing.
He was adamant there was no peach flavor. Okay. So peach flavor Snapple.
No, he was adamant that there wasn't peach juice.
Right, right.
Peach nectar.
I was like, so he came back with like nothing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, he was like, they had a peach flavored tea.
Peach iced tea. Peach iced
Snapple.
Tea.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
That didn't have peach juice.
Yeah. Eureka.
Like I wanted fresh pressed peach juice.
You want a Bellini.
Yeah, so I was like, well, why didn't you just get the peach iced
Snapple.
Just get the peach Snapple.
The thing is, peach on the label.
That's it. I didn't know Snapple back then. All they did was iced tea that was like different flavor. Right. I didn't say iced tea. I just said peach Snapple. I thought
people know what that means.
Knew what that meant. And then he's like, yeah, I was looking at it, but you didn't say.
It's like saying a Starbucks. You don't mean coffee. I mean, you know what you mean.
Oh, come on. What beach? Where in Florida? Come
Panama
on.
City. Oh, you
Panama
said another,
City.
You said another
Thank
country.
You, you did another, say another country.
I said another country. Yeah.
Across the
Panama.
Country.
Yeah, I figured that's what it was. Panama City.
Oh. Why is it another country, right?
No, it's Florida. Florida. But when you
said
another
I've
country,
said that this named after.
Okay.
I'm saying it's in Florida. It's got a name of another country. Mm. That's where the Panama comes in. Anyway. So.
Snapple.
It's named after Van Halen song.
Yeah, it is.
So then the guy's like, you're a total dick. And I was like, I probably said
probably
this happened all the time for stuff that costs under $2, just buy it and bring it back and then maybe I'll drink it or maybe you'll drink it or maybe I won't. Mm-hmm. Like I saw they had Snapple and I saw they had peach Snapple, but you didn't say peach iced tea. You just said peach Snapple and this is peach iced tea Snapple. So I didn't get it. And then when I came back, you said to me, you should have got it and you're a dick.
Why did they shut down production in the middle of the week in Panama City? Well, there was this Adam wanted peach Snapple. $2.
You haven't heard about the Snapple incident?
The guy was. I hope he's living in a refrigerator box somewhere now, being urinated on by one of his hobo friends. Because I no idea what that gear is to settle the hash of a celebrity. Mm-hmm. Like now that it's been 11 years and we're alone together in a room, let me convey this story that I will label as you being an asshole. Except for you were totally reasonable. And you were the idiot who didn't fucking buy peach Snapple, even though he said peach Snapple. And I somehow screwed you or shorted you by not saying the word tea, but just saying peach Snapple. Mm. And that's his example of me being an asshole.
Wow.
I hope that guy was eaten by fish. That's my...
That's an oddly specific fate.
It's a horrible way to go.
It really is.
I've had many members leave this planet that way.
I had many members.
Patterson is on line two. I'll talk to him in 1 second. Well, first, let me tell you about Tommy John, man. Wearing them right now. Let me tell you, I like the environment.
Do tell.
I like to save water. You know, I take the short showers.
Sure. You're efficient.
I don't like running that dishwasher mm-hmm. all night long. And, you know, running the washing machines, using a lot of it's ugly American stuff,
it
too.
It is. It really is.
I got my Tommy John underpants, and I give a little dusting of talcum powder down there before I leave. And I get 4 or 5 wearings out of those bad boys.
And that's conservative.
That's conservative.
As low.
That's a summertime number.
Sure.
Wintertime number. It's unlimited.
It's amazing.
Save. And the reason that Tommy John's worked nicely with the little talc, little dusting talc, I use it like the confectioner uses the powdered sugar over the donuts, you know, because it's snug down there. Everything's in place. It doesn't come sliding down the thigh over there. Tommy John, baby. You can combine the latest in fabric technology with patented wedgie-proof designs. Almost like you're wearing nothing at all. No swamp-like conditions down in the nether regions. Cool cotton fabric dries 5 times faster. I go commando every time I go on stage. I did my first stand-up special. I wore my Tommy Johns out there just for the security, man. It's cooler than traditional cotton. It's backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. You stay cool all summer long. It's Tommy John. No adjustment needed. Dawson.
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
Tom Patterson online, too. Tom?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man. You're the Tom of Tommy John, right?
That's right. I was there a little over a year ago with you guys.
Maybe
a little longer.
As if it was yesterday. I got to tell you, you dropped multiple pairs off at this shop. Every single person wears them here. And as I've been noticing from watching commercials and seeing some of your competitors, I feel like everyone's playing catch up. I feel like I've seen the big boys now trying to switch up their shape a bit and look a lot more Tommy John-esque. Am I making that up?
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that's definitely happening. But I think, you know, what's interesting is I've heard from several people who listen to your podcast saying, you know what, I tried wearing the underwear 4 or 5 days in a row like Adam, and it works. And that's like a claim that we never really thought about from a sanitary perspective. So yeah, we learned a lot of things just from your personal experience that we thought we had it all figured out, but that hasn't been the case.
Well, I gotta say, I can't remember who was sitting here and said he'd just turn them inside out. Oh, I think that was Stromer telling me he did that when I was talking about Tommy John on Ace on the House. I am telling you that when you start hearing about numbers, all right, let's just break this down. I don't want to go off too far here. We're going to play the Rotten Tomatoes game, underwear based or themed Rotten Tomatoes game. But if you know when they start looking into numbers, like for instance, I go nuts that every single hotel I stay in has a different shower valve, and that I run the water and I stand there and hold my hand out there. It's going on times 20 billion units a day and millions upon millions of gallons of perfectly drinkable good water, a very precious resource, is just going right down the drain and into the sewer system, right? I don't like that. Like, I hate that. And if you really think about, if you crunch the numbers on like how much water a washing machine uses and how much you would save if you did 3 loads a week versus 5 loads a week over the course of a 10-year period or your lifetime or whatever it is, it would just each single household would literally save millions of gallons of water. And we never really talk about it. And there's a kind of a like, oh, ooh, or put that in the hamper. Like, you wore it once, like, ooh. My thing is like, hey, man, I didn't play rugby in these things. I did a goddamn podcast.
It's not dirty till it's dirty.
I'm good. Yeah. And I dump a little talc down there, and I end up stretching it out, man. I make a little rock soup. pardon the analogy, yeah. but I stretch it out down there. And then with the Tommy Johns, even if I come home from the gym and they're a little moist, I just hang them up and air them out, and they're good to go.
You like them for the pool too, right?
I wear them in the pool just to give the neighbors a thrill because they like something clingy.
Sure, of course.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No, it's good because I pop out of the pool and hang them on the hook outside, and they're dry in 25 minutes, especially during the summer months. So good on you, Tom. We're saving the planet together.
Right. I like it. I'm learning a lot.
You ready to play the Rotten Tomatoes game?
Yeah, I'm ready. You've
been briefed. You get it. We're going to ask.
Briefed. He says briefed.
Good night, everybody. Talk tomorrow.
This boxer says you've been briefed. we'll lock in our answers and then we'll our numbers and then we'll ask you. And we're back to critics, not top critics, not audience, just critics. Underpants themed. Here we go.
Listen to that noise. It's a high falsetto voice that can only mean one thing, and you can feel it. Dawson names are flicks, and the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh. If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five. It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
All right, so in past games, we have run through iconic female underwear scenes. But now it's time to spice things up. Today,
Finally. We're
exploring the bulges and buns of men in cinema.
Buns.
Could have been tucked and tightened with the amazing products from Tommy John.
Is it my birthday?
Held in place.
She is excited.
I'm thrilled.
So is Brian.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our first movie, Ed Norton gets down to his briefs. No.
Mm-mm.
No, hold on.
Uh-oh.
Oh, discrepancy. Controversy.
Should we check upstairs?
Michael Keaton gets down to his briefs in this one, but we're more concerned with his beak on display.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring it's a long takes of a washed-up actor starring in his own Broadway play. It's 2014's Birdman.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, this is Keaton's Cranston-esque in that he doesn't look like a bodybuilder, but he looks sharp in his tighty-whities.
It's in shape for an older gentleman.
Now,
if I can call him older gentleman.
This is one of those movies that I just sort of agreed was good and then never wanted to see again.
Oh, but you did see it.
I did. I didn't really get the ending,
yeah,
and I wasn't
was
quite sure what was going on. But it was like, to me, this movie is like when you're going through Vegas and you pop your head in a showroom and you see that brother team from Stuttgart who are doing the weird muscle contortion thing where the one guy's doing a handstand on the other guy's hands who's now lifting him up in the air, and you think, that's impressive, and then you leave.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't do that. That's impressive. Now I'm going to go over here.
I've seen
that. That's the way I felt about this movie, although I recognize it as a good movie.
Yeah.
I think the critics... This had to be a darling of the critics.
Right at the round.
I would argue that this is one of those ones where the critics are 10 or 15 points higher than the audience.
I would agree with that.
We'll check that, Max Pata.
And he had such a... Who was the director in
Alejandro González Iñárritu.
Yeah, he was
that's
the thing.
Perfect.
Didn't he do The Revenant the year before or after? Was he the same guy?
Oh, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. We've all locked it in.
Yep.
We all have our numbers written down. Tom Patterson, how say you?
Ooh. I'm going to go 18.
Oh, wow. Bold.
Hmm. Hold on a sec.
It's out of 100.
Max Pattis, Tom been properly briefed on the game?
Oh, yeah. I've sent multiple emails.
He didn't like it.
Yeah.
Good for you, Tom. Bold. No. Stick by your guns, buddy.
It was nominated, possibly won.
You have to double check.
Oscar,
hold on.
Darling.
Hand the phone to Dennis Miller. Let's see if we can get back on track here. It's an inside joke. I'm just going to just intervene here and say that this was considered a very good film by the critics. Mm-hmm. And whatever you thought of it, Tom, is neither here nor there because we're trying to guess what the critics thought of it.
Would you like to take another stab at it?
Okay, I'll 20. Take my personal side. I'll go 79.
Okay.
There you go.
There it is.
Calls right. On track, yeah.
All right. Paul Bryan?
94.
Mm.
I also had Ooh. Written down the number 94.
Interesting. I might have went a little conservative, a little more Tom. I said 85.
Birdman is certified fresh at 92.
Wow.
With the people, wow. 20 points or 15 points behind.
Tom was the closest with the people.
Yeah. All right. But the 18, that would have almost... blown up on the launching pad. So time.
Thank you for the mulligan on that one.
That's quite all right. All right.
In our next movie, if Will Wheaton had a tighter seal to his britches, there'd be no leeches on his penis. It's a tale of boyhood and pie-eating contests. 1986's Stand By Me.
Directed by Rob Reiner, narrated by Daniel Stern, Dreyfuss?
I think Dreyfuss.
Wonder
Stern
reveal
is
at the end.
Wonder Years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yes. Dreyfuss reveal at the end to be a writer.
This is a great movie.
Stephen King.
And everyone enjoyed this movie. And the critics should have enjoyed it. And it should be one of those ones where the people and the critics were pretty simpatico. It was a fairly simple movie, and not sometimes the critics look at it as, you know, very, very kind of slice of lifey, but very satisfying and very well executed. And I'm going to be angry if this thing is lower than 85 because I want to find that 15% and go, what the F?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what was your beef with this movie? Why was this not satisfying to you? I'm going to lock in mine at, all right, Tom, how say you?
I love that movie. I'm going to go 95. Mm.
95.
Okay, now remember, don't go with your heart, go with your loins.
He's in the loins business. He should know.
He's in the loins business. All right, no, that's
95.
Good. 95. That's solid. We're trying to get in the heads of the critics. All right, Brian?
I think this film's gotten better with age. I bet at the time there were people who kind of dismissed it as sort of lightweight, whatever, so I said 86. Mm.
I went 89, Gina.
I said 85 for the first guess, and I'm sticking with 85 for this movie.
Stand By Me is certified fresh at 91%.
All right. Tom.
All right. Everyone's in the hunt, man.
Wow. Our next movie is a story of space, spice, and giant worms. David Lynch chose to tease the audience with a glimpse of Sting's dong in the movie 1984's Dune.
Oh.
Remember Dune?
I do.
Did you see this?
I've seen this a number of times. I don't know why.
It's a great documentary made about the making of this movie called Jodorowsky's Dune. That's really good, interesting stuff.
All right. The critics didn't love this. They couldn't have loved it. But here's the problem, Tom. There are movies on there that are, you know, 13, and then there are ones that are 47. That's kind of the problem with this one. A lot of pomp and circumstance and hype with this movie. I don't think the critics loved it, but I don't think it was like a total turd. I didn't see it. This is going to knock me off of my perch. I'm going to lock in my number at okay. Tom Patterson, how say you?
Ooh, the critics said it was not highly ranked.
We don't know.
Who doesn't know.
45.
Okay.
I was very close. I know this has a cult following, but I don't think it was very good. I said 40.
Oh.
It could be 10. I could be out of this game.
Oh, wow.
Well, no, you won't be because I went 47.
Okay. Yeah, I do not have a handle on this. I've seen this movie many times. I enjoy it. Maybe I'm influencing myself too much. I said 70.
Oh, dear.
Dune is rotten.
Damn it.
At 55.
Okay.
Damn. I changed my number from 52 to 47. So I lopped 5 points off my own score here.
Spice melange.
Tommy John underwear looks so good, you may be tempted to wear it on the outside of your clothing. Like Alex and his droogs did their jocks in this incredibly disturbing Kubrick film, 1971's A Clockwork Orange.
Hmm. Now, this is a crazy movie.
A lot of milk.
And it's a good movie. I can't tell.
Nothing but milk.
It's a weird. This is going to be a weird one for the critic. And I'm. It's a critic darling, kind of now, but I don't know how it was perceived in 1971. It could have freaked a lot of people out. It's a classic,
popular Halloween costume.
Is it good? Oh, this is tough. Damn, I wish I didn't downgrade myself by 5 points on the last one. Let's see.
This is 71.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 1971, I mean. Sorry.
See. Yeah. So then. Critics then probably weren't nuts about it, but it's probably got some good stuff since, and it's considered a classic.
Kubrick was a pretty big name at that point. It wasn't early in his career.
Okay. I'm locked in. Tom?
Was the first movie considered a classic? Birdman?
Mm-hmm. It's a little too recent.
It's not old enough to, right?
Yeah,
I was not here. In 71, so I'm trying to not see this movie.
Oh, there's a way to see movies that are made in 1971.
Yeah, but not before you were born.
Oh, yeah, okay. They lock you out.
Yeah, like you couldn't see Gone with the Wind.
No, forget it.
Right.
Wish I could.
Oh, I'm going to go 75.
Okay.
75. I want 88.
Yeah, the way. Keep in mind also, Rotten Tomatoes, with a movie this old, there's a lot of recent reviews and people who've reviewed it recently for whatever reason. So I went high and said 93.
I said 91.
A Clockwork Orange is certified fresh at 89%.
Ooh, I needed that.
Man, if I didn't change my last whatever, I had it at 52 and it was 55, I might be on, not Gina's record here, but I could be on a single digit pace here.
What did you have for this one?
Close to it. I had 88.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, wow.
Our final movie features James Brolin fighting off ghosts in his tidy whities. A film that taught us that if you're told to get out of the house by a voice, get the hell out. It's 1979's The Amityville Horror.
Oh, wow.
Wow, look at James.
I've never seen this.
Hot.
This is one of those stupid movies where they always suck, but they have name recognition, so they try to do the... Ryan Reynolds did, like, the repop a few years ago. Yeah, like, yeah. They go... It's like saying, hey, we should bring back the Ford Festiva. And then someone goes, well, that's a piece of shit. Yeah, well, I know,
people know it.
But everyone knows what it is, right? And they go, yeah, I know it is a piece of shit. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But it has name recognition. It's like, why don't we make a new car that's good? Yeah. But people know this
people
one.
People don't know it.
Yeah, they've probably done three of these goddamn Amityville. First off, the whole thing was based on nothing. Like when I was a kid, it was like, oh no, that's an actual house
based
that had windows.
Story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in terms of like, say, Jaws, when did this come out?
A little after.
Okay, so they're banking
but not,
maybe on
not
that.
Not much. It was a big deal at the time, but it was but only because we had nothing.
Okay.
We had that stupid Wheelo coat hanger that was bent up with a magnetic red wheel
I
on it. You
love
could hold it
that
back
thing.
And forth and go, Wheelo, Wheelo. That's all we had. So, of course, James Brolin in his underpants. Wow. It's a great day.
I'm really drawn with a blank here, man. I've not seen this. I don't know if it's a cult classic, but I don't know if it's a bad movie. I don't know what's going on.
I have literally not been more than five off on any of these things. I've been like two and three, and now we could be into the 20s. We could be into the 40s. I have seen this movie, but I saw it as a nine-year-old, and it's like it seems scary, but it's a pile of crap.
Shit.
Oh, this could be tough. I'm going to say, because of the old critics, okay. Tom, how say you?
I've not seen this one either. I'm going to say, 18.
18.
Okay.
I fear it's going to be higher than 56, but I wrote down 56.
Oh, well, we'll see, because I said 60.
I had 50, and I kept scribbling it out and scribbling it out and scribbling it out, ended up on 41.
The Amityville Horror is rotten. Oh,
no. Thank God.
At 29.
Oh, Tom!
Oh, no!
The wheels came off my wagon. What'd you do, Gina?
I said 41.
Oh, you just picked up a big chunk there.
That's helpful.
I think Brian and I were banging it out until that. Yeah.
That's bad news for me.
Well, it's my topic, men in underwear.
Mm-hmm. I want to say, first of all, everyone played a great game. Tom, as a guest, you did better than any other guest ever on this show.
Wow.
Tom Patterson on the podium, third place.
Ooh.
At 52 points.
Interesting.
That means one of you guys.
It might be last.
This is going to be really embarrassing for somebody.
I think that was that last one that did us in.
So Tom got 52. Adam Carolla, I'm going to give you your score. You got a 40.
Oh. I think last.
Bald Brian.
Oh, this is going to be a great day for the Asshole Bunch winner. Oh, what a day.
There we go. Brian, your performance was outstanding.
Yay.
You, fourth place.
Oh, my God.
At 57, leaving only Gina left now.
Yeah.
57 will win some days.
Gina Grad.
Yeah.
Congratulations on second place, 42. Oh. The Ace Man wins at 40.
How did you snatch that victory?
I was
2 points?
Yeah.
I was within like one or two on a whole bunch of them, and then dropped. And so going into that last one, I was 12 points off or something, and then I fell off a cliff.
This is the internet's achievement day because Brian lost.
That's what happened.
Congratulations, losers! Yeah. I look forward to all your tweets.
The only one I was two off, eight off because I changed it from 52 to 48 or whatever it was, and then one off and then 27. That's
I take no shame at 57, especially when the winning score is 40. This is a good grouping.
It's a very competitive tight pack here, man. We were bump drafting each other all the way down Trivia straight away. Tom Patterson, thanks for joining us on this.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. Really enjoyed it.
And you guys go out there and enjoy yourself some Tommy John, shall we? We'll play a little outro. Here we go. Thanks, buddy.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
Very good tank game. That's why you have to play the game. You have to.
You're compelled.
You're compelled to play the game. All right. Gina has something involved somebody in a penis.
Me too.
To discuss. Yeah. What do you got?
Well, it was a morning like any other when I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
Check my email, start my show prep, look at my news. And I see a name that sounds oddly familiar, but it's not a normal name. It's like a Hawaiian name. I don't know. And I click on it. And it's just a smiley face. It's just an emoji smiley face, but it's in reply to something. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? That guy, I was in an acting class with this guy. What is he replying to? He was replying to an email I wrote him in 2003 about a workshop we went to at an acting class.
Slow kinda, playing it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I thought, why do I have such a horrible pit in my stomach right now? Why do I have such a bad feeling about this? People send emails out of nowhere. And I remembered this guy asked me when I just moved here. I was young and wide-eyed and ready to take on the world. Didn't act in class. This guy asked me out to dinner and he was so hot. He said, yeah, come by my house and we'll walk across the street. There's a bunch of restaurants. So I show up there. When I go inside, he locks his door behind me, takes my purse and my keys, puts them in another room, and whips his dick out.
Mm. This is the move.
That's Jackman's move, peeps.
This is the move of a good-looking guy with a larger-than-average dick.
Good profiling.
Yeah, because you just—it's the guy takes his shirt off at the ball game. Mm. It's like, come on, dude! It's 71 degrees. You have to take your shirt off. Like, oh, that guy looks good with his shirt off.
And I'll do you one better. He started with no shame. And it's through his jeans. It's out. Just asking me questions about it. Asking me how I feel about it. Asking me what I think the size is. Asking me if I want to touch it. Asking me what I want to do with it.
I like the guy cuts right to the chase. He's like, listen, I'm good looking. I got this going on. Let's just get this over with.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did what I think most women are.
Now, hold on a second.
Okay. All right.
Let's try to be honest here.
Sure.
So I feel like, especially now when I hear the news, I hear people's accounts of everything. They give the account that they'd like to have had, but I'm not.
I'll tell you exactly what happened.
It's like somebody says, like, And I saw this guy, and I was walking down the street, and he yanked his dog very harshly, and then he kicked the dog in the ribs. So I went up, and I said to that guy, hey, buddy, I'm going to kick your ass in the ribs. But the reality is you may have said,
a dirty look.
You gave me a dirty look and went like, hey, go easy. But you didn't do the version that you would love to do.
The movie version.
To the guy.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I'll tell you exactly
and there's a female
happened.
Version of that, too, where, like, Trump put his hand on my thigh, and I told him, hey, buddy, that thigh
this life
that he made for you, as I took it, and I slapped it right back on it, and it's like, or did you just slide out of the way? Like, all right.
Yeah, okay.
What'd you do?
Because
I wouldn't be a hero. I'd suck the guy off and just, you know, as long as he's paying for dinner.
Well, it occurred to me quickly that dinner wasn't happening. Mm. And I was really disappointed. I was like, I'm going on a proper date with a dude. This is great. I just moved here. And the first thing he does is...
Pulls
his dick out and won't let me leave. So I do what I think we're all kind of just inherently, or maybe we're taught, I don't know, kind of trained to do. Humor the shit out of this guy and just slowly ninja-like make my way to my stuff. Because now he's in between me and my stuff. The door is locked. I don't want to cause a scene. He's a big dude. I don't know this guy. Mm-hmm. He's super hot. So part of me is like, am I supposed to be flattered? I'm super confused. I wanted to go out with this guy. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What do I do? So I just started answering his questions as complimentary.
Yep.
As like, yeah, no, it is impressive. Just sort of like... Never breaking. I remember this. I tried not to break eye contact with him.
With the dick?
Mm-hmm.
With the dick. Mm-hmm. But I was reaching around for my stuff because I didn't want him to move it again or think like, hey, where are you going? It looks like you're in a hurry all of a sudden. So we just had from what I remember, a pretty in-depth conversation about his dick.
One of my favorite Lil' Kim rap songs is singing about the dick.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, she used to be scared of that dick.
But what does she do now?
She threw some lips to the shit.
Yeah.
What happened?
Handled it like a real bitch.
Yeah. So maybe you should have torn a page out of Lil' Kim's playbook.
No.
I'm just saying.
Okay, you might be right.
Not but for nothing.
You've given me a lot to think about. So
food for thought. Cock for thought.
So I got my stuff, and I said, you know what? I'm so sorry. I forgot I had somewhere to be, blah, 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 and I just left.
Now...
I'm wondering,
you look for that, Brian, and give me a second. But I have a theory. I shall share it with my daughter at some inappropriate time soon. But I have a theory about your story, and I would welcome other people's input on this. First, I'll tell you about stamps.com. You can get everything on demand these days. And how about you get postage on demand with stamps.com? Bind, print, official U.S. postage, any letter, any package with your computer and printer. Then the mail carrier picks it up. You just print it, mail it, you're done. That's it. Comes right out of your computer. We use it here all day long. And right now, enjoy stamps.com with a special 4-week trial plus up to $55 free postage and the digital scale. Why would you do anything else? Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. Once again, $55, free postage, free digital scale. I think it goes up to about 80 pounds. You're going to send stuff around the country. Why? Cover it with stamps. Go to stamps.com. Get the deal, top of the homepage, type in Adam, stamps.com, enter Adam. We got Lil' Kim.
Yeah, this is a Big Mama Thang off of the album Hardcore from 1996.
Oh, I know. You got it going on. I used to be scared of the dick. Now I throw lips to the shit. Handle it like a real bitch. Have the hunter, Janet Jack me. Take it in the butt. Yes, yes, what? I got land in Switzerland. Did she just say take it in the butt?
Sure did. Land in the Maryland. Bahamas in the spring. Baby, it's a Big Mama thing. Can't tell by the diamonds in my ring. I wonder if Shatner ever covered this one.
I should ask him next time on one of his horse shows. Like, hey, Lucy in the Sky is fine, but
let's get with it. Let's get with it.
Let's get with it. Yeah, this is Lil' Kim.
Yeah. And play with my pussy. Tell me what's on your mind when your tongue's in the pussy. Is it marriage? Baby carriage.
Don't walk my daughter down the aisle to this. Well, these kids will be so hardened by internet porn by the time
this will be considered.
This will be quaint.
This will be a nursery rhyme they learned in preschool.
Yeah, we'll look at this like we looked at Lucy and Ricky sleeping in separate beds.
Shocking.
Well, this is Sonny's part.
Yeah, this is where Sonny comes out throwing the rose petals.
How big and untrust you in the studio with me? Don't they know I'm trying to set you continuously? Pull a high power cool, make you jump ship.
Can't help you.
Run with the Rockefeller crew. Tricky for the cheese.
I don't know. Do you think this is the gent whose dick she was initially frightened of?
I
thought it sounds like Jay-Z. Yeah.
It's like Summer Nights from Greece.
It was about 12 years ago. No.
He must got the studio.
Yeah.
As you speak, he's on his way up the street with the mafia thugs and all types. But I ain't trying to beef, I'm just trying to eat. And horizontally, the way I hold my eye is sweet.
Oh.
And them my niggas, but I like the sound. Little Kim and Jigga sound like figures.
Jigga, there you go.
Well, there you go. So
sweet.
Anyway, she used to be scared.
Yeah. She came a long way, baby.
Mm-hmm.
So you were singing that to yourself.
Right.
As this guy exposed himself.
As I start kneeling.
Mm-hmm. And so my theory is when the guy asks you out and then says, here's my address, come by about 8.
Mm-hmm.
Everything after that, it could be, you know, the restaurants are right next door, whatever it is. But when he's saying, I'm asking you out, come over to my house, I don't take that as a good sign.
It's a red flag.
I don't care if he picks you up, then drives you back to his neighborhood, mm-hmm. and then you eat at those restaurants. See, what time you're going to be by, mm-hmm. that's a sign that he's not going to be holding the door open.
Right.
He's going to be holding the fly open.
Right.
And it's a good looking dude move.
Very good looking
dude. But you're already kind of setting the table for how this may be going. Yes?
Yeah. I think you're right. And I think that I ignored a lot of that because I was new in town. This really good looking guy, I wanted to hang out.
No, I would not blame. I don't blame you at all. I'm just saying anyone listening, if the guy asks you out and then says, here's my address, come on by.
You're right. I have learned that since. But you're absolutely, I think that's a rookie move.
Mm-hmm.
This move must have worked before because this, unless he debuted it on this evening. But you know, this
he
is,
didn't seem nervous.
I was going to say, he didn't fumble.
There's a flop sweat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it must have worked.
You got your purse.
Yeah.
And your belongings.
Thank God I had my car. Thank God I went to his house and he didn't pick me up and take me back to his apartment.
And you were able to make it out of there.
Yeah.
Were there any parting shots? Did he have a...
Did you defenestrate
on
yourself?
Me? Yeah. What,
did he do one of these things where he's like, oh, okay, all right, sorry, stupid. Let's...
No. No, he was... He. I remember he seemed like he was actually shocked I had to leave. He thought we had a date.
You know where to find me.
Yeah. He expected I had cleared my evening. So I said, you know what? This is a lot of fun. I forgot I have a thing. It was so great hanging out with you. We should definitely do this again. Compliment, compliment, compliment. Please don't rape me. Door.
And now what do you think's up?
I don't know. I'm wondering one of two things. He's either insane or he got hacked. Because this is from a Hotmail account.
I was about
account.
To say, is it Hotmail or Yahoo?
It's
or something?
Hotmail.
A more hackable.
You've said he's good looking. We get it. He's a Hotmail. Now, please.
He's got a Hotmail account.
Still doesn't excuse what he did. I don't care about his aesthetic.
For him?
We said he was good looking once before. Yeah. We get it.
Give the devil his due.
Yeah, that's what I wonder. But why would I just get a smiley face? I'll show you. All I got back was a smiley face from an email written from 2003.
I suspect there's going to be nothing but this.
Maybe
right?
He listens to the
for
show.
For the future.
No, it's hackable. My first instinct was hacked.
I think he's a listener. I think he's trying to get some.
All right.
Yeah, the move now is to just go to your Instagram and like a photo from years and years and years ago that shows that he was, you know, checking your profile out.
All right. We will continue.
We'll
we got some
happened.
News. I had a sad thought involving my family that I'd like to share with you. Bring everyone down. Some news about parole, and we're talking about William Bradford and his parole and favorite tweet and a few things like that. And I'll tell you all about that. First, I'll tell you about MedMen, redefining the cannabis industry, empowering you to exercise the right to purchase cannabis, premium shopping experience, wide range of products with knowledgeable and approachable staff. You'll find what is best for you. What do you got, Gina Grant?
Well, I can tell you what I could have used that night.
Oh.
Take the edge off. It would have been so great if I could just hop on over to a legal dispensary with knowledgeable people, warm people, that I would say, look, I was almost assaulted in an apartment. What do you have to take the edge off besides a crime report? And they would have told me exactly what to do. They're very, very nice. It's a state-of-the-art facility, and they'll cure what ails you.
Now through the 30th of this month, I got a huge sale. Favorite brands like Bloom, Poppin' Barkley, and Triple J and more. 40% off plus $10 off if you mention me. This is state of the art, man. No weird back alleys and stuccoed over windows. Nope. You can check out one of their 8 locations in L.A., Orange County, San Diego, and Las Vegas. And you can visit them online at medmen.com. Find the store nearest you. MEDMEN.com. Dawson.
Plus, visit MedMen and tell him you heard about them on the Adam Carolla Show for $10 off your order, in addition to the 40% off select items. Check out MedMen today.
All right, we'll take a quick break. The good sports, come back with a couple stories for you, and then we'll get into news after that.
Corolla Drinks presents Bands in the Sand, July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach, featuring Mo Lauda and The Humble. Mo Lauda and The Humble, plus Roses and Cigarettes. Loxy. The Smoking Kills. Just another Southern California. The beach is free. The Mangria and Endless Rant IPA and Lager will cost you a little bit. Mo Lauda and The Humble. You couldn't tell by now. Headlines, Bands in the Sand. You need to save. July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach. Join us as we get it on the beach. For more, follow at Corolla Drinks and visit AdamCarolla.com.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good sport.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Make sure you check out the Dave Damashek football program, available on Apple Podcasts. Hot pro football talk is NFL 2018. Fast approaches, and of course, make sure you check out Dave's of Thunder, also now available from right here in Carolla Studios, back in business with David Feeney. Make sure you check that out. Ace, what's the poop? I have a question for you that came up a couple weeks ago. You know Matt Money Smith. He was generous enough. Yeah, he's a swell fellow. No wonder you two are fast friends, because you're Renaissance men. The both of you. You both can hold conversations on almost every subject not seem dim about it.
Known him since he was a phone screener at K-Rock in 1994.
And now he is the voice of the Los Angeles Chargers. So bully for him, and he's a generous soul, because Petros Papadakis was out a couple of weeks ago, and he said, hey, why don't you fill in? And, of course, love the opportunity to do that, and it happened to be at Chavez Ravine. So we sat right up over the Dodgers bullpen, and they broadcast the show. And so the guys are doing their side work. The pitchers for the Dodgers are doing their side work, and they can hear us talking. And so Money's like, yeah, just say whatever you want. Just see if they react to it. And so we're basically kind of half roasting Dodgers pitchers to see if we can get a rise out of them right underneath us. It was great altogether.
Speaking of Chavez Ravine, there's a great Vin Scully clip with Hugo Chavez. I imagine you've heard it, but you may not have heard it. It's pretty obscure. It's probably from a few years ago. Obviously, Vin's retired. But it's Vin calling a Dodgers game and sort of making small talk in between about the guy's probably from Venezuela or something like that. Wait, is that Hugo Chavez's land? Yeah.
Yep.
It's Vin Scully at his Vin Sculliest talking about Venezuela with, I guess, a player who hails from Venezuela, and a little in between because, you know, it's baseball. You gotta keep it rolling.
Lots of time to tell stories. Only 161 other opportunities to do it. Better get them in now.
2016 versus the Brewers. Let's listen.
Socialism failing to work as it always does, this time in Venezuela. You talk about giving everybody something free, and all of a sudden, there's no food to eat. And who do you think is the richest person in Venezuela? The daughter of Hugo Chavez. Hello. Anyway, 0-2.
What? I love the social commentary.
Where did that come from, Vin?
Social commentary. That's 2016. Vin's like, fuck it. I got 1 foot out the door.
That's great.
I'm going to work in a little of my own. He was like watching Tucker Carlson the night before. Came in that morning, had a nurse and a head full of ideas. I love the way he worked. The best part is like, anyway, 0-2.
0-2.
Yes.
I love that clip. That's crazy. He had a story about everybody. The kid just got called up. He's 19. He's from Missouri. Oh, Vin has a story that is fantastic about how his mother came to be an American. I mean, he was always the greatest. Anywho, so Money and I, we finish up the show.
Matt Money Smith.
And one of my coworkers, Emma VP, comes to the ballpark to see us. She's going to the game that night. And as we get off the show, she comes to see us. And oh, hello, Emma VP. I greet her. We see each other at work all the time. And Matt Money Smith, who also sees Emma VP, they get too close, and all of a sudden, before either one really knew what was happening, they embraced.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me so it propelled me into a conversation about what is it with all this hugging going on all the time? Why is everyone, do you feel obliged to, are you uncomfortable? I want to say out loud to everybody, just because everybody does it doesn't mean that I'm comfortable with this kissing each other on the cheek in social events. We're not together, you and me, lady. What are we reaching in for the kiss for and all that hugging and jazz?
I have hugged random black celebrities way more than I've hugged my mom or my dad in my adult life.
If I
see Tracy Morgan, we got to hug it out. When I see my dad, we don't hug it out.
The full hug
I am getting
confused.
Like
Schwarzenegger and Creed in Predator. Like, oh, Dylan.
And you're sitting behind the desk too long.
Yeah. I see you've been pushing too many pencils.
Right.
That shake and then the embrace with the other arm. What do they call that shake?
I'll tell you what I'm getting. I got it in New York last week. Ran into Jason Schrift over there with Baldwin. Approached him, gave the high handshake with the hand turned in. Not sure. Is this a hug, a prelude to a hug? My feeling is, look, you can either give me both arms out, we're hugging it out, or you can give me extended arm handshake. The high hand with the hand turned in. Not sure.
Confusing.
I can't work my hand around. I'm not sure what that one is. And then that one's going to end with a bump hug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And believe me, like you say, NFL football players, I find it a slight, and I've let a lot of guys know this too, that I see football guys, like they'll come in and they'll greet. If they're, they knew each other in the league, or maybe they're still all in the league together, and they, hey, what's up, man? And they give each other the up, and they do like the punch in the back kind of thing. They do all that. And then even if they know me, sometimes they'll just do a more conventional, like, hey, how are you doing? And they stick their hand out to me and just do a normal handshake. And I feel slighted by that. Why am I not in on the up, on the cool handshake with you? You know
it's interesting.
And I call them out and I say, why not? And then I kiss them. And then that brings it. Then that levels the field.
We may take a turn for the racist here, but statistically.
You warned them. So
statistically, the group that does the most hugging, I would say African-American men, is also statistically the group that is most likely to shoot somebody. Hmm. It's quite a range. It's just statistics here. Not on a social commentary. Statistically. And then the least amount of hugging with the least amount of shooting is probably the Asians. Huh. They do no hugging and no shooting of one another. And then you go to the Middle East, and that guy kisses you. And then tries to take your head off with a sword. A lot of range is all I'm saying. Something to think about.
The Europeans,
somebody had to bring it up, Gary.
Thank you for being courageous about doing that. Yeah,
it's a culture where the guy kisses you on the right cheek, Then he kisses you on the left cheek. Then he's like, that's not enough smooching for 2 6-year-old dudes. Give me that right cheek again. Then he finishes on the right cheek. It's basically our equivalent to crossing the street. Look left, right, and left again. My feeling is like, you look left, you look right. According to your plan, this is going to infinity. I look left, I look right, and I'm looking left again. We do right cheek, left cheek, right cheek. And then later on, come over to my house. We're going to do an honor killing because my daughter lost her virginity and she wasn't married.
So they have guests for that? I didn't know that they had like a whole party, like a reception for that.
I'm just saying, a lot of range. Whereas the Asians, they keep it pretty straight. No hugging, no shooting.
It's interesting.
The bridge are the Jews. The Jews do lots of hugging and no shooting.
I feel like my people, at minimum... Yeah, I guess the hugging, but it's always that. It's funny because that's the everybody always like, I gotta kiss you on the cheek. Oh, look at, wow, you look great. Like, oh, and then I feel like I'm a social pariah because I'm not inclined to kiss you when
the Mexicans, no hugging, all shooting. I'm gonna put together a chart and I'm gonna laminate it so you guys can have it in your wallet. So you just know how it breaks
so
down.
So it's a guide, you know, like what?
Like with the tips.
I see.
You know, like right. You want to know you're coming up to Mexican. Looks, okay, do we hug? Do right? I get shot?
Scandinavian.
This guy's Bedouin.
Male.
What do we do? We kissing? Is he going to behead me later? How's this work?
And it'll all be laid out there for you. So you know.
Scandinavians, no hugging, no shooting.
Yeah, choose your adventure kind of way.
Just okay. So you know, going in.
I appreciate that you make
not
that.
A critique.
No, no, no. No, you're helping.
An observation.
All right, we'll leave it there for this edition of Good Sports. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. For Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Podcast One Sports, out. Good Sports.